This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and Sirius XM Channel 371.
Right now, we get another absolutely awesome ACC insider. She knows all. Andrea Adelson joins us. Andrea, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, fellas. I'm here and I'm healthy, so it couldn't be a better morning. Hope there you're feeling you all right, Pack.
I mean, I told you yesterday, I put some dirt on it. We'll be good to go. Put some dirt on it. Let's go. It's championship week. You got to play. No excuses. There is a lot going on right now in the league. Now, just forget about games a second. There seems to be just a lot of stuff going on. And I want to start with Florida State because even though it's been a tough year for Mike Norvell, he really got some great news from a transfer standpoint.
So I know we're not supposed to have favorites when we're doing our reporting, but Mackenzie Milton, the UCF quarterback who's now announced that he is going to transfer to play at Florida State, he is one of my favorite players to talk to. And I think once you get him on this show, you'll understand why. His story is so inspirational and amazing. Everybody in this league will be rooting for him. And we all know he suffered a devastating leg injury several years ago against USF, and he has been trying to come back and play ever since then. And I've been able to chart his journey every step of the way. That injury was so bad, they nearly amputated his leg after he got hurt because there was some artery and nerve damage and blood loss. So doctors worked to save his leg right after the injury. They rushed him to the hospital. And from that moment forward, even though doctors told him the goal here is to get you to walk again, Mackenzie said, no, that's not my goal. My goal is going to start again. And so this year at UCF, he was able to run the scout team. But it became clear that Dylan Gabriel, who's been outstanding for them at quarterback, he's the future for UCF. So Mackenzie made this decision, he felt, in the best interest of both UCF and himself to try and find an opportunity to go and start somewhere else. And this process happened really quickly. Florida State proved to be a really good match for him. He wants to start. Obviously, Florida State can use some help at the quarterback position. But beyond that, whether he takes a snap, whether he starts or not, his presence in that locker room is much needed for a program who needs the type of veteran leadership that Mackenzie brings to the table. This is one of the youngest teams in college football. He knows how to win. He's been a winner. He's gone through an undefeated season. They need somebody who can rally that locker room together and who can show them the way, who can show them, all right, this is what we need to do during our offseason workouts. This is what we need to do in the weight room. This is what we need to do in the film room. Mackenzie brings all of those intangibles with him, and I think that is where you're going to see the immediate payoff for Florida State beyond whether or not he can take some snaps as a quarterback and start for them, which I think he can. So I'm excited to see what happens in Tallahassee.
Andrea, I know you've chronicled his journey back. You obviously saw him when he was playing at UCF, and he's a phenomenal talent. There's no question about that. The thing that strikes me about this is what you just added at the end. He's going to be a candidate to contest for this job, but the presence he will bring to the program, whether he ever starts a ball game or not for Mike Norvell, he could have a significant impact in what Norvell's trying to build. So in some ways, as much as Mike Norvell's helping Mackenzie Milton, he's got an assignment to help Florida State in many respects, it sounds like, too.
Absolutely, Wes. And in doing the reporting over the last several years about Mackenzie Milton, and I got to know him even before he got hurt. UCF went undefeated in 2017, and everybody remembers they self-declared as national champions. But a huge reason why they went undefeated was because of Mackenzie Milton and what he brought to the table, not just on the field as a guy who could make plays with both his arm and his legs, but that intangible of leadership. He is highly competitive and he rallies people around him. He gets people to follow what he is doing, to follow his lead. And every great team needs a leader like that. And even as he was going through this rehab, it's not as if Mackenzie just shut himself in his apartment. He was in every single meeting. He was in every single quarterback meeting. He was guiding and mentoring Dylan Gabriel, who happens to be his best friend on the team. So imagine how that must have felt knowing, okay, I'm probably going to lose this job to Dylan Gabriel, but I'm going to do my level best to make sure he is the best quarterback he can be. He put himself aside to help his team. And so that, to me, is a huge intangible that Florida State absolutely has to have. So I think this is a win-win for everybody. And McKenzie is so excited to be in Tallahassee, to be at Florida State. I had a chance to talk to him this weekend. And as he told me, you know, every kid grows up, you want to put on the garnet and gold. And he mentioned all the Florida State greats of the past. He knows Mike Norvell, played against Memphis, obviously, at UCF, so knows what that offensive system is all about. I think this is a great fit for everybody.
Sure does. Sounds like it's a win-win proposition, and those are the best ones. All right, let's talk about what we led off the show with this morning, and that is that Jim Phillips, the athletic director at Northwestern, appears to be the leading candidate to succeed John Swofford. Your take on Jim Phillips, what we know about him. Again, he's got a great reputation amongst the inner circle of athletic directors and all the committees that he's chaired and so forth. If it turns out to be Jim Phillips, Andrea, it seems like that is another perfect fit.
It seems that way, Pack, and all of the feedback here since the news broke late last night has been extremely positive. There is nobody who said, not so sure about that. Everybody seems to think that this is an A-plus hire for the ACC, and there's a couple things that I feel are worth mentioning. Number one, I think it's good that the ACC went outside the league to hire somebody if this is going to be the candidate. Some of the initial names that we saw coming out were all ACC-centric, and I know this conference has gone to somebody with ACC ties every other time they've needed a commissioner. But in this day and age, when everything is so global now, and obviously you've got to have your own conference perspective, but you really need perspective from outside of your own little bubble, I think it's great that the ACC went ahead and tapped somebody who has that. He's obviously got the credentials, the resume. He's well-connected. And I think the fact that the Big Ten passed on him and went with Kevin Warren, and maybe that decision hasn't really worked out super great, at least right now in the early going for the Big Ten, indicates to me that the ACC believes, okay, well, you know, Jim Phillips may have been a great fit for the Big Ten. Let's go ahead and bring him in here so that he can be a great fit for us. So if this is something that ends up making it to the finish line, it seems to me as if this is going to be a move that is going to be applauded across the country. And his connections with a lot of different people, I think, are going to serve the ACC really well now as we move forward and the league has to tackle some important global issues that go well beyond the ACC.
Andrea, how critical in this process, and this is the one thing I've always heard about Jim Phillips from folks around the country, is his out-of-the-box thinking. And I sided with Pac like Wrigley Field football with Northwestern in the past. They were supposed to play Wisconsin there this year, that kind of thing. That aside, we're moving into name, image, and likeness. We're moving into a lot of different, you know, arteries, if you will, of the blood flow of college athletics from a financial perspective. We're also in the economic downturn here off the pandemic, where college athletics is going to be challenged in a lot of ways. Is that maybe potentially his biggest asset, the fundraising he's done at Arizona State, the fundraising when he worked briefly at Tennessee, at Northwestern? Is that as critical a piece to this as maybe anything else he brings to the table?
No question about it, Wes. I think when you look at some of these issues that we're talking about in terms of what college athletics is going to be facing here in the next couple of years, the fact that he isn't just someone who thinks linearly and thinks, okay, well, let me just check off some boxes and this is the way that we've always done it, so this is the way we should continue to do it. That's not the way college athletics needs to be run moving forward, because there are critical issues that need to have outside the box thinking where you're not doing something because that's the way you've always done it. You need to find ways to innovate, to get your message across, obviously, to be an advocate for student athletes and to be an advocate for your conference, to make sure that you're putting your conference in a position now where they can lead the conversation, where other conferences look to you and say, wow, that's a really good way of doing things. Maybe we should do it the way that the ACC is doing it. I'm not saying that's been an issue for the ACC in the past. I'm saying this is a really good opportunity for the ACC to step to the front of the line and say, this is how we think name, image, and likeness should be handled. This is how we think the crisis with financials should be handled. And it cannot be something where You get a bunch of folks who are just going to check off the boxes, as I said earlier. It has to be something where you've got the experience to problem solve in different and unique ways, because that's going to be, I think, crucial as we move forward, is trying to find different ways to answer some of these questions so that other people can look to the ACC as a leader.
Andrea, I was waiting to see who was going to be the first team to go, hey, we've made it to the end of the season, and we're going to pass on going to a bowl. You knew what was going to happen. You didn't know who was going to be first. Well, BC became the first, and now all of a sudden we've seen Virginia and Pitt follow up, even just from an ACC perspective. Stanford is added to that list as well. First of all, your take on that issue, and number two, don't you expect many more to follow suit?
I was not super surprised to see Boston College take the lead on this. I spoke to Jeff Hafley before the regular season finale just about the strain that all of his players and the staff, everybody, has been under to put together a football season. And of course, I had to ask, what have you all done that's allowed you to get to the season? At that time, they didn't even have a positive. They ended up with one, and it happened because of Thanksgiving. And he told me the measures that they had in place to make sure they could make it to December 5th without an outbreak, without spread. And what they did was so restrictive in terms of what the players could or could not do. Essentially, they didn't want players going to see family. And this is a program that has players that are from the area, and they didn't want them going out and seeing them or seeing friends, obviously avoiding large gatherings. Even when their family was able to see them play on the road, they set up barriers so that they couldn't even hug their family members at road games, because they had heard other incidents where there had been some cases that happened as a result of families and players seeing each other after games. So he told me they were mentally and physically exhausted, and he just wanted his players to have the chance to see their families again. He reiterated a lot of those comments last week and some other interviews that he has done. So when you start to get a window into what these players were asked to do, and as he told me, I didn't demand anything. I didn't say you have to do this or else. I put the ball in their court and said, if we do this, this, and this, we'll be able to get through the season. If we don't, I can't make any guarantees. And his players listened and followed. But when we start to see what Pitt said and what UVA said, all very similar messages about why they made the decision not to play in a bowl game. They just want their players to be able to go home and see their families after being on campus since June or July without having that opportunity. And they just didn't want their players to have to sit around during Christmas on campus preparing for a bowl game that they didn't even know whether it was going to happen. There could be a chance the bowl game doesn't end up going off because of other issues that are out of their control. So I'm not surprised, and I do think we'll see more teams end up making this decision.
Yeah, it's interesting times for sure from that perspective, isn't it? I mean, we've talked about mental health a lot during the course of this fall, and that was as much of a mental health decision as it is a literal decision, I think, Andrea.
No doubt. And the other part of this is the bowl experience that teams so relish and enjoy at the end of the season. It's not going to be there. This isn't a 6-day trip where you get to go and see the sights and have big meals and get to socialize with the other team, you know, go to the beach or whatever the activities are at some of these other bowl games. That's not going to be it. You're basically going to go in, you're going to play the game, and you're going to go home. So a lot of the perks that come along with going to a bowl game and a bowl site that make it fun for the players, that is a reward for the players, that's not going to be there this season. And I think that was another factor involved. And the mental part of it, as you mentioned, Wes, I don't think we can diminish that part of it. I mean, imagine being a player and you're alone in your room for the bulk of the season, as was the case in some of these universities that decided you can't even have a roommate. You've got to stay alone by yourself. You can't go out to dinner. You can't see anybody else. You're alone in your room since June or July without having that opportunity. That weighs on you. Or let's say you're a player who got caught up in contact tracing and you were quarantined to your room for 14 days. You never tested positive, but you're alone for 14 days without even being able to interact with your team, go to practice, go to workouts. Let's say you got cut up multiple times and you never tested positive. There's so many things that these players have gone through that I don't think has been reported yet. And I think will be in the coming months as we start to talk to more players and hear about their experiences. So I don't blame anybody for turning down this type of opportunity this season.
All right. Always appreciate the time. Thank you so much. Have a great week.
All right, guys. Always good to see you again.
All right. Don't forget tonight on ACC Network, 8 o'clock, all ACC coming at you. We'll look back at the college football weekend. Plus, Tom Luganville Pack joins the show to talk recruiting and look ahead to signing day on Wednesday and more on the matchup between the Tigers and the Irish. That's all ACC tonight, 8 o'clock Eastern, right here on ACC Network and streaming on the ESPN app. When we come back, the best of the weekend. We'll double check on Michael Carter and Javonte Williams. I know they've run all the way out of the stadium several times. Where on the road are they? We'll catch up to where Carter and Williams might be, plus other nuggets from the weekend ahead on Packer and Durham.
This is the Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham on a Monday. We don't get through a Monday show without the best of and the worst of the weekend. And Wes, right. We always start on a positive note, at least try to, with the best of the weekend. Right. And there was plenty to choose from, given the ACC sports weekend.
Yes, sir. Including Michael Carter and Javonte Williams combining for, 544 yards and five scores. But before we get to that,
the catch.
We have found in the deep, dark archives of the Packer and Durham program, Toe Groves to Sam Howell. This is, by the way, Toe Groves' passer rating is perfect, Pack. He's 2 for 2 with 2 touchdowns.
That's all fine and good, but
now,
number 7.
Degree of difficulty.
Number 7 shows some hands here, though.
Well, 7 shows the ability to catch the rock. I want to go back. Look at Toe Groves. Left-handed running right with the throw. And it was on the money, Pack, right? Yeah,
this is a wide receiver U nominee. So, I mean, fine with the pass. The catch is what we're looking for there. WRU. So we gave it to Sam Howell as a nominee. He's not necessarily a Final Four. And, again, we don't vote for the winners and all that stuff. But we had to get the right video on it. There you go. You have no say-so. Wes, we cannot influence the vote. We just present it. It's all we do is present. We present. We don't influence.
Okay. All right. All right.
Just saying.
All right. All right.
But you were talking
meanwhile,
about the running
Michael
back.
Carter and Javonte. Yeah. Michael Carter and Javonte Williams are still running. They're still running, Pack.
Somewhere up I-95 heading north.
Five?
Yeah.
My gosh.
Crazy.
Look at the poor umpire. What happened to the umpire?
Forget the poor dudes trying to wear the black unis. What were they doing? Tackle the guy with the ball, boys. I'm just saying. Just an idea. 5:44 on the ground. Just pushing people
Mark,
out of the way.
They ran a number. There was a number the other day, and I can't recall exactly when it was run, but there was like, there it is right there. Look at the number yards before contact. Thank you, fellas. Look at this. Look at the yards before contact for Michael Carter of his 308.
I mean, I don't mean to pile on, but that is an embarrassing number.
But
that's an embarrassing number. But those two dudes right there are some bad, bad men now. They are big time players, and they put on a show in Miami. That was, sorry, boys. Y'all need to pick up your game a little bit. You're going to mess with us.
Can I tell you that 12 years ago, there was a Thursday night game at Grant Field in Atlanta where Randy Shannon brought Miami to play Georgia Tech. Mm-hmm. The first time Paul Johnson ever saw Miami. And I don't know if you remember the game, but Michael Johnson, the defensive end, had a pick six to start the game. And then Johnson's offense, Miami had no idea on the spread option that night. No idea. And the game was punctuated by a third, fourth string B back named Lucas Cox going about 48 yards untouched. Okay, at the end of the game. Well, in a group chat the other night, a text came out that said, Miami hadn't been run on like this since Lucas Cox went untouched. And I'm telling you, Miami got run on by Javonte Williams and Michael Carter. Holy smokes.
And seriously, I as you well know, I am not a fashionista. You need to burn those uniforms. Every time I see, if Miami ever wears those black uniforms again, you know what I'm going to think of? 7-7-8 is what I'm going to think of. I mean, you gave up 778 yards wearing those goofy black uniforms. And there are certain teams that should never touch the unis. Hey, Miami, you're one of them. You're one of them. You've got classic. Every time I see the U, I know who I'm looking at. Orange, green, white, whatever combo, I got it. You come out there with those clown suits, you played like it. I mean, seriously. And, you know, if you think we're piling on, 7-7-8. Just burn those things. Have an official dig a hole. Everybody take them off. Throw them in there. Light them on lighter fluid and let it rip. Bonfire. Okay. Never to worry.
I will also
again.
Add this. We have a lot of Miami people that interact with us on social media, watch the show, I'm guessing. If you go back and look, anytime Miami wears an alternate jersey, anything that deviates from the original plan in a game where they are ranked high, it doesn't end well.
Man, don't mess.
Just saying.
That was brutal. Yeah. Bad. Let's get to the next one. We got about 50 more.
Next,
here.
Let's go. Next, Orange basketball. How about this, huh? 101-63. Hey, now.
You know what's scary
about
this
score? What are we doing, Pack?
I'll tell you what's scary about that score. Oof. It wasn't that close. I told you, BC went on a 13-3 run to end the game to lose by 38. Syracuse looked terrific.
Yep.
I mean, really looked good.
Yep. By the way, congratulations, Buddy Boeheim. Passed old man on the scoring list. One up him at the house, as they say.
Yep. Dear old dad, rear view mirror. That's what he said to him.
That's it.
Syracuse looked good.
Florida State a winner in hoops, right? Florida State a big winner.
Safest bet right now in the ACC is Florida State.
Yeah. Michael Polite, Scotty Barnes, MJ Walker, Balsa Koprivica. Knowles are coming at you now. Coming at you. Look good. Pac, they look like they've played 12 games, not three, you know?
Just a good club. That's They're right. well coached. Got a bunch of players. Yeah. Again, Leonard has built not a good, a great basketball program. Mm. Good for him.
Also, later that same day, Florida State football, 522 yards, 56 points. Mike Norvell waves so long to the home fans with a big win. Noles get their third of the year, convincingly. Jordan Travis did Jordan Travis things. Early flurry paid off.
Yeah, 28-0 before you got a chance to sip on your first Coca-Cola. Duke, 2-9, things over. Florida State got one more to play, hopefully this week at Wake Forest.
There you go. Last on the punch list, Commonwealth Cup. 20 out of 22 for the Virginia Polytechnic Institute and State University, Pack. You said last week all the pressure was on the boys hosting the game, and they delivered, didn't they?
Yeah, I thought they were better on the line of scrimmage on both sides, and maybe the most complete effort we saw from Virginia Tech all year, and it came at the perfect time for Coach Fu now. And by the way, Justin Fuente will be rocking and rolling tomorrow on the program in some shape, way, or form, even in spirit. That's just a little subtle hint for tomorrow.
There you have it. Fresh off his Commonwealth Cup, Coach Fu joins us on the show. All right, next on this list, a side note from ACC basketball. Justin Champagne of the Pitt Panthers went off. Second straight 20-point, 20-rebound game. He's the first player in 25 seasons to record consecutive 20-point, 20-rebound games. Now, he's the third major conference player over the last 25 years. Pack, he joins Caleb Swanigan of Pitt and Blake Griffin of Oklahoma.
You know, when you put it in context of how many great players the ACC's had in men's basketball, and when I saw that stat this weekend, it surprised me because I thought for sure there would have been a longer list in the league, given how many great, not good, great players we've had in this conference. So, JC put himself in pretty good company there, right? I mean, you say, hey, me and Tim Duncan, that's it for the ACC in the last quarter of a century, going a little back-to-back 2020. That is strong company right there, my man.
By the way, he and Duncan are the only players over the last 25 years in ACC history to have 20-20 and 5 in the same game, too. He also had 5 assists, which Champagne said to his coaches might have been a career high in any game he's ever played. All right, ACC will also feature the most teams in the latest AP Top 25 pack. You talked about this early today.
That's football. We're not talking hoops for any folks that might be channel surfing this morning. I'm talking football. Right now, again, I know we got a college football playoff poll. It'll come out tomorrow night. But the latest AP poll has number 2, number 4, number 16, 19, and 24 from the Atlantic Coast Conference. When the ACC looks in the rearview mirror, you know what they see? Everybody else. Nobody else has 5. Nobody else has 5. Again, don't let the facts get in the way of a good story. Just telling you.
Leagues
had a pretty good year.
We had a really good comeback in women's basketball over the weekend as well. NC State outscored Boston College 28-9 in the fourth quarter to win 75-69. You see the note on the nearly 100% probability to win with under 7 to go in the fourth period. Great matchup inside, Elisa Cunane and Taylor Soule for their respective teams. But a tremendous win for Wes Moore's squad, who continues to roll here in the first few weeks of the season.
I will just point this out because it was in the press release. Free throw attempts, 34-8, NC State. 34-8. That was in the BC press release. Fouls were 29-14. Just saying. But when you're up 16, I'll just say, when you're up 16, with 6 to go, guess what? You must close. No excuses. You must close. Don't want to hear about it. Just pointing out the facts.
All right. When we come back, the worst of the weekend, some would say it started Thursday night, Pac.
It did start Thursday night.
Oh, some would say, yes. Those jerseys going to make the worst of the weekend, Pack?
Find out.
From Miami? Oh, there we go. Packer and Durham return in a moment.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
Packer and Durham. Best and worst of the weekend. Now the flip side. The worst of the weekend. And some folks had it better than others. But there was one guy that actually had an incredible stretch. And he's got to be waking out of bed going, you got to be kidding me. Right? And the guy that leads off our list this week on Thursday night, Wes, Vincent Davis, went bonkers against Georgia Tech. I know it was on a Thursday, but it counts. And you're thinking, as soon as you saw the highlights, if you watched the game live, great. If you didn't, you watched us Friday morning, we gave you all these Vincent Davis highlights. where he goes for 247 on the ground and Pitt couldn't run all year, but Vince, it was awesome. He goes for 247 on the ground. You're thinking, well, there's your – hey, there's your back of the week of the ACC, and nobody's going to sniff 247.
Yep.
Wrong answer. Yeah. I mean, Vince has got to be thinking, man, of all the weeks that I go off for 247, I'm going to be the ACC back of the week. I don't like your chances. How about that? So he's on the list. For all
I don't
the,
like your chances.
He's on the list, and he had the greatest night of his life. Right? The plane's going to be lit and the whole thing. We love Vincent Davis. He had the great sound bite played out of sight.
Plane was lit.
Yeah, and he's on the list only because, I mean, of all the weeks, I mean, of all the stinking weeks you go for 247, it had to be this weekend for Vincent because he's not going to get the list. Yeah. He's not going to get the nod.
That 247's page five stuff today, isn't it?
It's crazy, right? What a weekend. Bonkers.
Unbelievable. So that's the worst week to have 247, Vincent. That's why you're on the list. Right. Not that you had a bad night.
It was awesome.
It's just the worst weekend.
Yeah, he was freaking great.
What makes it the worst of the week?
Great.
Other folks might be a little more deserving of the worst of the weekend. Miami, we're still here. Holy cow. Pac said next time you start thinking about black jerseys, 7-7-8.
Yeah. God.
Oh.
And by the way, for the record, can I just say something for the record to be completely transparent?
Sure.
About a month and a half ago when Miami unveiled these, that this is what they were going to wear, I said to all of you, I really hate these uniforms. I hated them. And y'all, oh, you're crazy. These look great. No, no, no. And I'm watching this game laughing like, yeah, that's what you get for not wearing your real deal now. Man, they should, I'm telling you, should burn those things. They should have burned them Saturday night. Bad.
Another note from the ball game at the Hard Rock. I punted as many times as Carolina did on Saturday.
Yeah, Carolina's punting game is on our worst of the weekend. You know why? They told the punter to go, just go down to South Beach, man. Get some suntan lotion and put your feet up. We don't need you.
Go down to Joe's.
Yeah, Joe's Stone
Crab. Call Eric Palms. Tell him you want to get table at Joe's.
Yeah, you want to chill in the afternoon. I'd suggest News Cafe. It's a great place just to chill, watch the world walk by, assuming everybody's chilling out. Yeah, we don't need your services. We don't need no stinking punter.
Yeah.
7-7-8. We don't need no stinking
Ben
punter.
Kiernan. Yeah. Ben Kiernan is the Carolina punter who lived in witness protection on Saturday.
Yeah, he's on our list this week. What a lousy
Ben.
Weekend.
He was Ben terrible. Should have been just like... Ben should have been doing this on the bench.
Yeah. That was just... I thought it was the best game of the weekend going into in college football.
Right.
Miami-Carolina, I thought was going to be the number one game of the weekend. And I'm sitting there between the Fog Bowl going on there with Army-Navy and in North Carolina... Going to run 20 yards downfield before somebody in a black uniform decides, let me put a hand on that guy.
Yeah.
What a weird day. Saturday was weird.
Pat, can I add something here real quick?
Sure.
Angela's directing our show. Angela, can you give me a one shot, as they call it in the industry? Let me offer to our colleague, Chris Fowler. Chris, I'm sorry that Saturday's game was not close.
No, you're not.
I'm sorry.
No, you're not.
I know it's been a hard fall for you guys, not having any close games, but I'm optimistic for you. I'm optimistic for you and Herbie and the Bear and Bill Bunnell. It's Saturday's ACC championship game at 4 o'clock will be a lot closer than Carolina-Miami.
God, I hope so.
Just wanted to offer that. All right, let's go to Kentucky
while you're on the A-list team, I will tell you this, though. Kirk Herbstreit was living large now. When you're getting the Army helicopter treatment to get to your jet plane to get down to Miami, that is living now. Oh, Kirk Herbstreit was living on Saturday. That's the way you do it.
There you go. That's the way you go. That's Packer style right there.
No,
Let's go to the Cats.
Pro helicopter.
Yeah, pro helicopter. Kentucky. How many punts did Carolina have? Same number of wins Kentucky's had against the ACC, Pat.
Yeah, if you look at the ACC basketball standings, at the very bottom of the list, you will see Kentucky. If Kentucky was in the ACC, if's the biggest word in sports. If we have 16 teams playing hoops, Kentucky be 16th right now. Big Blue Nation, you're 16. By the way, 1-4 start for those guys. I doubt you'll get that on the SEC network. They don't talk basketball very often, but that's the worst start for Kentucky since the 84-85 season. But you'd be 16th in our league this week. Just saying.
So there you go. If we were doing accounting, Kentucky would be 16?
You'd be 16. Sure would.
All right. Boston College makes the worst of the weekend.
Watched it.
Trailed 48 at home to Syracuse. 101-63 the final.
Yeah, it was 98-50 when I'm sitting there going, yikes, what are we doing? But there was a run. I told you, 13-3 run to end it. Syracuse, outstanding.
There you go. Oh. All right. We move on from the Orange and the Eagles to a developing story from Friday morning. Firm handshakes.
Yeah.
It's some firm handshakes.
Yeah, that's on the list.
Several games in the ACC this week finished with firm handshakes.
Yeah. Ooh, that wasn't that wasn't our best effort there.
Yeah. Coach Brown, Manny Diaz.
You gotta go check out the band.
Firm, there we go. Yeah, check on the band, make sure everybody's okay. Yeah. Make sure Jeff gets to the band. Okay.
That wasn't our best effort there. Got to be honest. Being totally transparent.
All right.
I am always going to be honest with you. That was not our best effort. That was not.
Nope.
I've seen better from from Coach.
Also, unfortunately, from worst of the weekend, Wake Forest had had one turnover all year long. Saturday, they doubled it.
Yeah, that was
Now it's being brought up that I jinxed this somehow.
Well, this was like your big story last week. I mean, that's all I kept it back. I've got a stat for you. I'm like, oh, I can't wait to hear it. And this was your stat. And lo and behold, here's Wake. Turned it over once all year.
So you're going to put this on me.
You're a broadcaster. I'm not. You're the broadcaster. If you want to apologize to Wake, I suggest you go ahead and do it right now. I mean, they'd only turned it over once until you brought it up on Friday. That was your big story. And then they turned it. They doubled their turnover amount.
Almost had three, by the way. Almost had three.
Three. I'm not a broadcaster. I told you, I'm a host. You were doing the game. This was your big stat on
Friday.
Yeah, it was.
And that's
what happened.
Yeah, it was.
So, hey, if you want me to send this down to you, I'm not going to send you the chicken stick hat. You got one of those.
If you
want to apologize to my boys there in Winston-Salem, you go right ahead. Knock yourself out. Still got the nutcracker right there over my shoulder, though, don't you? See there? It's Josh Cracker right there.
Josh Cracker. That's one of our producers.
Looks just like him.
Christmas holiday items. Yep. Yeah, there we go. All right. Duke, speaking of turnovers, the Blue Devils' long fall in the category is over. 39 of them, 20 fumbles, 19 picks.
That's what I wrote down. 2019 and 2020 is what it is. 20 fumbles, 19 interceptions. You thought that Duke might just for fun just throw one more pick to call it a season and go 2020 and 2020, but they didn't. But 39 turnovers, Wes. I mean, goodness gracious. I mean, it's just one of those years. Man. That is by far the worst number. And big boy football. It is not even close. 39. Wow, it's a big number. Oof. That's a big number.
All right. Blue Devils, by the way, are also winless all time against Florida State.
Since dirt.
Yeah, that's a since dirt, right. Yep. Last on the worst of the weekend. Thank goodness. Miami lost to Florida Gulf Coast in basketball, but number one, Florida Gulf Coast pretty good, one of the favorites in the Atlantic Sun this year. Second, though, Jim Larrañaga, with injuries and other things, only had 6 scholarship players available for the game.
It's tough.
That's not good.
Now, last year was a tough year, too, from an injury standpoint, and that bugaboo is still front and center, and that's one of the reasons you heard, as you discussed earlier, Jim Larranaga being upset with this transfer issue with the NCAA. So, you know, they just got to get healthy ASAP. I mean, it's hard to compete when you got both hands tied behind your back.
Yeah, there you go. So that's the worst of the weekend. Lengthy list both ways this day, Pac.
A lot going
Lengthy
on.
List.
There's a lot going on.
Yeah, a lot going on. We've got men's basketball for you tomorrow night right here on ACC Network. We move this thing into conference play full bore. Clemson, Virginia Tech gets us cranked up 6:30 tomorrow night. The Hokies 15th in the country. And then at 8:30, we'll send you to Tallahassee. Jay Alter, Dan Bonner bring you Georgia Tech and Florida State. A double dip of basketball presented by GEICO right here on ACC Network, streaming live on the ESPN app. All right, stay tuned. When we come back, we'll check the scoreboard and get a look at what happened on the ladies' card, and also get you ready for the holiday season with our ornament, if you will, on the set. We'll do that right after this.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Packer and Durham, final segment of a Monday show. A lot of stuff lined up for you for the rest of the week, which will be great. Obviously, Notre Dame Clemson Saturday will be a big deal, and we'll make it on this show, I promise you. National Signing Day as well on Wednesday. For all those folks out there that love, hey, we got the 19th ranked tight end from the state of Virginia on odd days, signed on even. I mean, you know, people love all that stuff, crazy stats and rankings and all that stuff. But it's a big day. It's an important day. So we'll get into it. Well,
and
yes, sir.
To that point, Tom Luganville to the show tomorrow, along with Michael Carter and Alan Griffin of Syracuse.
There you go. So good stuff. Women's basketball had some storylines too. We told you about NC State's crazy rally against Boston College, down 16 with about six to go, and found a way to win the ball game by six on the road. But here's what else you got going on. Clemson's gotten off to a good start. Could handle Pitt, though. Florida State beating Virginia, the Hoos struggling. And Georgia Tech knocking off Notre Dame, Wes. Coach Ivy kind of off to a slow start there in South Bend.
Yep, and same at Virginia, too, in terms of their conference play. Nice win for Pitt, though. Lance White's team.
No question.
Picking up a victory against Clemson. So keeping an eye on the ladies' side as well as the men's side. Conference play started a little earlier on the women's side. Men's play business picks up more this week after the Syracuse-Boston College game over the weekend. We'll have coverage for you on ACC Network throughout the week of both sides on the basketball card. Look forward to that. All right, now we mentioned Michael Carter tomorrow. Pack, at some point along the way this week, we're going to have to talk about some of the very difficult positions in all ACC voting. I mean, there are some spots in the all ACC ballot that are log jammed. Running back being one of them. You heard Eric McLean and I talking about Javonte Williams, Michael Carter, Khalil Herbert. There are others now. That's not a short list. So we'll talk about that and more coming up as well this week on the show, along with more previews, preview of Notre Dame and Clemson, Saturday, 4 o'clock at Bank of America in Charlotte.
I do not envy those that vote for the All-ACC team because there are simply some positions that you cannot win, no matter what person or people you put in those respective spots. There's going to be a counter where you go, well, how in the world did you leave off A, B, and C? I mean, and this goes back to a conversation you and I had 6 weeks before the season, 2 months before the season, where I said it was critical that the ACC have a 2020 college football season because I thought this was going to be an uptick, up spike year for the league, not only from a team perspective, but also quality of players. And I think that will be eventually found out in the NFL draft, but you're seeing it obviously in the rankings. I mean, we got five teams in the AP top 25 this week. That's more than any other conference in football. SEC, Big Ten, Pac-12, find one. Nobody's got five. The ACC does. You got two teams right now that will battle for an ACC championship that are ranked second and third, respectively, in the latest college football playoff poll. And again, tomorrow night we'll get the next rendition. So this has been a great year for ACC football. Hopefully we can finish this thing off and get to a finish line, get a great championship game this weekend, and hopefully have the playoffs, knock on wood. But so far, so good. The league's really done a great job playing as many games as they have, more than anybody else. And then, of course, the quality of the teams at the top. And very, very good year.
Very quickly, we've reached the holiday season, Pack, and I noticed that we have a our holiday ornament has made its way to the set.
The Josh cracker. Right here. Now, if you don't know, if you didn't follow
us last
year.
You want to explain this for those that have just joined the show?
If you didn't follow us last year, this nutcracker, we've named the Josh cracker because amazingly looks just like Josh Macri. And the best thing about the holiday spirit, of course, is it works. This is a real Josh cracker right here. So that's why we've named it the Josh cracker. So for the next 2 or 3 weeks during the holiday season, Macri, in honor of you, my friend, you'll be over our shoulders at all times. The Josh cracker. Look at that. Works and everything. Tremendous.
Oh.
Macri, I don't think it cares.
Before mask became standard operating procedure on this show, we had a two-shot back a year ago that showed you just how much the nutcracker.
It's eerie how like similar they look.
It was awesome. It was. Thanks to Eric McClain. Thanks to Andrea Adelson for being a part of the show. Drew Brooks, Josh Macri. Angela, thank you as well for helping us out today. Everybody on the back row and in the bunkers. We'll see you tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. right here on ACC Network.
Tune into Packer and Durham weekday mornings from 7 to 10 Eastern for the best conversations about everything from the ACC. Find it on the ACC Network, SiriusXM Channel 371, and streaming on the ESPN app.